Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. It's really good to be here. I want to agree with Heinrich. I am on a mission. I'm on a mission for more of God. I'm on a mission for the fullness of Christ. And also just want to honor Heinrich and Nikki. They're amazing people. If I had to choose a pastor for me right now, a pastor's couple, I would choose them to be my pastors. If I just had to go somewhere, I would come here and be under their leadership. Let's give them a hand. Not yet. Heinrich and I, we have a bit of a journey together. We were for a season together there at head office, Bible school. We were in the same office for a year or two, and we would often be on our knees before the Lord, crying out, looking at the cricket scores, Jesus, help us. It seems there's another moment like that again. Praise God. So I just want to show you a video clip. I wrote a book recently, and I can only give you a little bit this morning to inspire you, but the book says more of what I believe God has laid on my heart. I really feel God has given me a mission, a commission to make His bride beautiful again. I believe that's what God has given to me in Sonica, this mission to see His bride beautiful. So the video clip shares a little bit about it, and let's play. Are we ready?
Recently, I was in Brazil ministering at a church of 6,000 people. And just before I stepped onto the stage, I felt Jesus speak to me, saying to me, make my bride beautiful for me. That so spoke to me. And so also earlier this year, I was in London in the UK, and we were praying for the body of Christ in Europe. And this word came of a bride in a wheelchair. And I was praying, God, what does it mean, a bride in a wheelchair? And I had this impression of a beautiful bride standing strong, looking into the glory of God, looking at the majesty of her Savior. But at some stage, I saw this bride looking to the side, looking into the darkness, looking at evil, looking at circumstances, looking at all the problems. And this beautiful bride lost her strength and was confined to a wheelchair. I believe this is a word for the Church of Jesus Christ. Large sections of the church has lost their strength because we're no longer looking at the majesty and the beauty of our God. And so our journey began around 7 years ago. My bride, Sonica, love of my life, she went through a personal crisis. She battled with a terrible insomnia. So she would get into bed around 9 p.m. at night and still be awake around 3 a.m. the following morning. Night after night, this would happen. The good nights were the exception. The bad nights were the norm. And so I would wake up in the middle of the night and find my wife on the floor in the bathroom, weeping profusely. My heart broke for her. She said, I can't sleep. I was so worried about her. She fell into a depression, and we lost our joy. We lost our peace. It felt like we were captives and unable to break out of this prison. I prayed for her so many times, literally hundreds of times, praying that Jesus heal her, set her free. We tried everything in the natural and in the spirit and spiritual, and nothing changed. I was in the full-time ministry for around 10 years at that stage, and I had to admit, I had to face the fact that although I believed Jesus to be powerful, I didn't know His power. I didn't see His power. And I realized, for the sake of my wife and so many other people in our church that were living defeated lives, We need to pursue God. We need more of Jesus. We need more of God in our midst. And so the Lord used that whole ordeal to make us thirsty for more of Him. And so we cried out and we started to step out, and the Lord started to teach us about physical healing. And in the first 10 years of ministry, I only saw 2 people physically healed. But over the last just over 3 years, we've seen close to 1,200 people physically healed. Because Jesus is powerful. Jesus heals. When we look to Him, when we look into His glory, when we look into His love, and that overwhelms us, then the kingdom of God comes. And so Jesus healed my bride, Sonica, of this insomnia. And also He unlocked unto us a whole new paradigm from the scriptures of how to make His bride beautiful and powerful again. And so this is what heaven's flow is all about. You see, I believe from Ephesians 4, it says there are the fivefold ministry that will cause the body of Christ to come to the fullness of Christ. Isn't that what we're longing for more of Jesus? So I believe there are 5 rivers of life, 5 rivers of blessing, that if the church would position herself, if we as individuals would position ourselves in the midst of these rivers of life, we would become powerful and we would become beautiful again, as Jesus has called His bride to be. So there are 5 rivers. Physical healing is only one part of the apostolic flow. But there's also a prophetic flow, a pastoral flow, a teaching flow, an evangelistic flow. And if these 5 flow together, we would have sustainable revival. This is the heart of Jesus Christ. So where are you at? Are you happy with your relationship with Jesus? Do you know His power? Are you satisfied with the state of the church? Because I'm not. I believe there's more. And that's the reason why I wrote this book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, to help the body of Christ and every believer renew their minds and reposition themselves in these 5 rivers of life. So join me as we go deeper into heaven's flow and we see the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, become beautiful and powerful again.
So that's the dream. That's the dream, to make the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, beautiful and powerful again. Amen. Do you think it's possible? I believe it's possible. And so I just want to ask my wife to come and stand with me. I want to also just want to put on just the next diagram, the next slide there, the diagram. This is basically what the book is about. It highlights the 5 rivers, the 5 flows. And this morning I'm going to be speaking on the middle one, relationships flourish. It is God's passion to see marriages and relationships flourish. I actually believe there's an anointing, there's a supernatural anointing that causes relationships to flourish. But we need to create the right environment for that to happen. So this is my wife. Again, she looks pretty in real life as well. When we went to East London about 8 years ago, I made a decision. I'm going to do ministry different. I'm going to do ministry in a way that both our relationships will flourish, my marriage will flourish, our family will flourish, and the church will flourish. So we changed how we did things. The previous 7 years or so, it was sometimes quite hectic. We wouldn't see one another for quite a while. But it stirred in my heart, you know, there's a way. So in a sense, our mission is to show the world that both ministry can flourish and family can flourish at the same time. Amen. That both you can be successful in doing the will of God and see your marriage and family flourish. Amen. And so Sonica, she's my sort of assistant leader at the church. We pastor the church together. She's the worship pastor. She's the office manager. She is amazing mom, amazing wife to me. I'm lost without her, absolutely lost without her. And the things that the Lord has done in us is partly there's things that we were battling with, that Sonica was battling with. For 3 years, we had this craziness that she couldn't sleep. And the Lord used that to stir in us that hunger, that thirst. You know, but I've come to the realization that the most powerful team on the planet is this. Husband and wife, united, loving Jesus and loving one another with all their heart. This is the most powerful team on the planet. Your marriage can be the most powerful, powerful team. And that's why the devil is so unhappy. He wants to divide us. He wants to cause us to miss one another. He wants us to lose hope. He wants to wound our hearts. And I'm trusting this morning that God's going to do something in our hearts just to restore. Amen. So let's just give Sonica a hand. There's so many times that the Lord has used my love for Sonica to cause me to push through barriers and limits. And so I want to just share with you about the pastoral flow, but I want to highlight as friendship set on fire. Friendship set on fire. So we have a bit of heat over these last 2 days, so we are thankful for bringing some fire here. And I was sharing over the weekend, we were preparing for this, for the marriage seminar this weekend, and as I was going through the content, they had a funny effect on me. As I was meditating on everything I want to say about marriage and celebrating one another, it's like something happened. I called my honey and my vrou af hou nie. Ek weet nie wat dit was nie. I just wanted to touch her the whole time. And yeah, praise God. The word of God is powerful. Amen. But there's something about the Lord knitting hearts together, and it begins in the marriage, but I believe God wants to cause it to flood out into his bride, into his church. And then we become an unstoppable move of God in the earth. And I know some of us might have been going through stuff, you know, maybe you've disillusioned, you know, maybe you've lost hope. Maybe some of us have, the fire in our marriage has decreased over time. But I'm trusting this morning for the Lord just to do something on the inside of us. I felt yesterday the Lord say there's a new season for this church. There's a new season for many of the couples in this church. Do you know when a new season kicks off? When your heart encounters Jesus and he renews you from the inside out. From the inside out. So about a year ago, I was in Argentina, and on the last day, we had an amazing week of ministry. God was moving powerfully, and we were so blessed. 7 of us, we were at the airport, luggage booked in. We were blessed, like high-fiving. God, it's amazing. We're so happy. And so one of the guys was always joking about, don't you know, this passport thing around your waist. You know, you're a sissy, you know. One of my elders, big guy, 150 kg guy, like, Andre, you're a sissy, you're a little passport around your waist thingy. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. So I put it in my backpack, and we're sitting at this coffee shop 20 minutes before we have to go through the gates, put my bag next to my foot, and we're chatting, and the next moment I feel something's wrong, and I look down, my bag's gone. Passport, money, everything. 20 minutes before I had to leave. What a crisis. What a crisis. So I'm running around like a headless chicken there. Oh, Jesus, where's my passport? One of the worst feelings I've ever experienced. Team leaving, flying back to South Africa. I'm being left behind. A crisis. And I'm like, Lord. And I'm like, ask God, why? You've been speaking to me this whole week. I've been hearing your voice so clearly. Holy Spirit, why didn't you say, hold on to your bag? I'm like, oh. And I just felt God saying, I have a plan. And I said, Lord, this plan sucks. This is a horrible plan. I didn't sleep after that for about 50 hours. Got back into the country, was all hell broke loose. For about 2 weeks, I couldn't sleep. First time in my life, I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. I was so tormented. There's so a lot of chaos happening. And Sonica also, it was just chaos in the house. But I knew that, I've learned that every crisis is an opportunity. Every crisis is an opportunity for what God actually wants to do You know, but so often we look at the crisis and we allow the crisis to steal our joy, to steal our hope. And so in that season, you know, I think I was praying almost night and day for 2 weeks, just like worshiping. I couldn't find peace, just worshiping and praying. And so Vian, our son, he's 7 years old, and that time 6 years old, and we spoke to him the previous year about hearing God's voice, and he went to his room, he lay on the bed, he didn't hear anything, and he's like, nah, it doesn't work, there's God thing, nah. 6 year old, 5 year old that stage, he's like, nah. And then last year, that in this time, in the season, again, we spoke to him about hearing God's voice, and he went again to his room, and he lay on his bed, and he closed his eyes, and then later he came and he spoke to Sonica with tears running down his face. Jesus spoke to him. He was lying in his bed, and the next moment he says that a light entered the room, and Jesus stepped out of the room, out of the light, and then Jesus started to speak to him. He had two such encounters. I can't remember which one was which, but in both of them together, Lord, Jesus spoke to him and told him, Vian, your name is written in the book of life. And mommy and daddy's names are also written in the book of life. I'm like, yes. And then Jesus shared other things with him. And then in a vision, Jesus took him to church. And then Jesus showed him the people at church. And he showed him things going into their heads. Yeah, from the pulpit going into their heads. And Jesus said, they're being equipped to fight the devil. And then Jesus took him to, showed him a little bit of heaven. And then Jesus showed him the earth, and the earth was golden, and there was a lock on the earth. And Jesus said to him, that is the new earth. It's not ready for you yet, but one day you're going to live there. He doesn't know anything about these things, but Jesus told him, one day you're going to live there. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? So our six-year-old boy having Jesus encounters. You know, and I'm not sharing these stories to say we special. I'm saying if it's happening to us, you can have it too. It's an invitation. Every testimony is an invitation for you to experience the same or more. But I've realized, what's the point that I would lead 1,000 people to Jesus, but my son loses his way? What's the point if we do great things for the kingdom of God, but our children lose their way? What's the point we succeed in the business world and we achieve all these wonderful things, but our families fall apart? What's the point? You see, no success outside of the home can make up for failure within the home. And so I want to remind us again of what is truly valuable. You see, on that diagram, it says the mission of the pastoral flow, the anointing is relationships flourish. Relationships is ministry. Relationships. It is ministry. It is the heart of God. It's the passion of God. But if we want to see relationships flourish, we need to make a few changes, shift a few things, get our value system right. And so this is my passion. As I said, we want to see the kingdom of God come and also family happen. And so Sonica knows my love language, so she often speaks kingdom with me. She knows she must painted in kingdom. So she will tell me, Andre, when you spend time with Jesus, time with Vian, it's kingdom time. Do you have any idea? Do we have any idea the impact that our son would have one day? Every bit of time with my son, every bit of time investing in him, I have no idea. I believe we're just laying a platform for our children. We are all just laying a platform for our children. Think longer term. Don't think short term. Don't be caught up in the small, the now, the here. Think further. Think wider. And this is our mission. The mission is to lay a foundation so that the Lord can take our children next level. I was jogging the other day. Doesn't happen often. 2 weeks ago, I was jogging. And it was my first time in quite a while, so I was really tired, end of the run, and lost like 100 meters, and one of our members saw me, and he called me, and he drove close by, and I'm like, I can't breathe, I'm tired. And then he said, there's a guy next to him in the car, and this guy, he's taking him to hospital right now, he's got appendicitis, he's needing an operation. Could I quickly pray for him? I'm like, okay, Jesus. And so I just prayed, and I felt, I sensed the presence of God touching this man and blessed him. And then I prayed for healing, and then I jogged on. And then a few days later, the guy phoned me, the member of us, and he says they went to hospital. It was put under anesthetic. Something went wrong, so I had to bail on it. He went back to his room. Next morning, he got up completely healed. Isn't that cool? Even when you run and you're like, I don't know, Jesus, help. And then Jesus is just so ready to move. And so one of our values as a family is the presence of God. His presence in our homes, His presence in our lives. And everything flows from His presence. But that's the prophetic flow. Don't want to focus on that now. So friendship on fire. What is friendship on fire? Friendship on fire is 1 + 1 = 10. 1 + 1 = 10. One of us can put 1,000 to flight. Two of us, 10,000. That the power of a team. You know, but how the enemy works? He does 1 + 1 = 0. He wants people, two people who were previously lovers, who were supposed to build one another up. Now they become one another's enemy and they break one another down. That's the scheme of the enemy. He gets us to focus, to fight against one another instead of building one another up. Be aware, the enemy wants to divide. He wants to divide. Don't allow that to happen. So, John chapter 7, verse 38. My book is basically based on this scripture. It says, he who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Help me here. Say, out of his heart. Out of his heart. Jesus saying, not just one river, rivers will flow from us. I believe there's 5 rivers. My wife believes there's a 6th one. It's called the river of romance. I'm not sure yet. It's not in my book. Not sure yet. We're going to write a different book about the river of romance. But I'm sure it's in there somewhere. But rivers flowing from within. Rivers flowing from where? From your heart. From your heart. The key is the heart. The key is the heart. Everything flows, in a sense, from our hearts. If our hearts are in good space, then life flows forth. Do you know how the enemy takes us out? He attacks our hearts. He wounds us in our hearts. He tries to damage us in our hearts. Be aware, because if your heart gets wounded, it's game over. So a few years ago, we were doing a training thing with a group of leaders. And after the training, one lady told me, every time we worship, every time we pray, I go cold and I feel bad. And I have this uneasy feeling. I'm like, that's probably not the Holy Spirit. Probably another spirit. Something's wrong there, you know. And I told them, I'll ask someone to pray for you. It was late. And they said, oh, would you pray for me? I said, okay, let's pray. It was quite late. Anyway, so then we prayed for her. And as I was praying for her, the Lord showed me that she was raped years ago. And as I was praying for her, and the Holy Spirit was touching her, and she was just weeping and weeping and weeping as God was touching her. And the Lord said to me, to her, what people did to you does not define you. I define you. And she wept, and she was broke down, and God set her free right there. And then afterwards she told me, I was raped by a family member some years ago. So how do you handle that? Something bad has now happened to you. How do you handle that? Are you going to be a victim for the rest of your life? I'm sure most of us have not been raped. Not that something that bad hasn't happened, but we have scales of, I was the victim. This bad thing happened to me. They said that. My husband did that. My wife did that. My friend did that. Something happened, and we embrace that into our hearts, and it wounds us. Jesus saying, what they did to you does not define you. I define you. I have learned over the last 3, 4, 5 years, every crisis is an opportunity for the glory of God. Every opposition, every persecution, every bad thing that could possibly happen. I heard a guy one time said, you know, if the devil would write a biography one day, an autobiography, it would be called, It Backfired Again. Amen. It backfired again. He tried to destroy us through depression and sleeplessness and almost insanity in a sense. Just didn't want to make us crazy. The devil tried to destroy, but Jesus used it to unlock glory, passion. So how do you handle your crisis? How do you handle your challenge? Every challenge that comes my way, I'm like, devil, I'm going to give you a hiding, and I'm going to press into deeper into Jesus. Amen. How do you handle? How do you handle the challenge? I don't have control over other people's hearts or behavior, but I do have control over my own. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants us to flourish. He wants us to flourish under pressure, under challenges. Go look, Christianity at its heart flourishes when everything comes against it. Amen. That's for me the heart of the apostolic flow. Pile it on. Bring it on. Whatever you want, just do it. It's going to backfire. Jesus is going to work Christ-like character into me. I'm so going to forgive you and love you. I'm so going to get free. I'm going to look more like Jesus. I heard this guy, a prophetic guy, he said he was being persecuted over and over again. He had a conference where he would be presenting. There were three guys that would come. They would placard outside. Don't go in. It's of the devil. This guy's of the devil. And then they would buy tickets and they'd come sit front row. Front row. And he would like, Lord, I can't take it anymore. These guys are freaking me out. And then he had a vision. He had a dream one time. And he says he was like in the throne room and he was sitting on Daddy God's lap. And the Father was just blessing him, loving him. And there was a statue, like a piece of rock almost there on the side. And there were guys chiseling, chiseling, chiseling. And then the Father said, they're chiseling the image of Christ into you. And then he saw there's like three guys chiseling. And then the Father said to him, encourage them, encourage them. So he started to shout, go for it, yes, do it. I want to look like Jesus. In the dream, he was just shouting, go for it. And then when he got back to real life, he started to love them. And he would go up to them and hug them and say, oh, so good to see you. So good to see you. He said 6 months later, they left. They couldn't take it anymore. Couldn't take the love. Couldn't take the love. Real Christianity flourishes when everything comes against you. Because the kingdom within you is greater than the kingdom outside. Amen. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But he says, you are more than conquerors despite all these things that come against you. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been wounded in your heart. Maybe you've been wounded in your relationships. Maybe you've been wounded and disappointed in whatever context. It's an opportunity for Jesus to work his image into you. Look away from the issue. Look at who God is. He's good. The Lord spoke to me some while ago. I was bitterly disillusioned. Bitterly disillusioned. I was disconnected with God. I couldn't connect. I was negative. And I was at the small group meeting. We were just worshiping. I'm trying to connect. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, the only reason you're disillusioned is because you're looking at man and not at me. I'm like, Jesus, only reason? Only reason? Yes, only reason. The only reason we get disillusioned is because we're not looking at Jesus. We're looking somewhere else. If you look at Jesus, if you realize, wives, that your husband is not your God. Jesus is your ultimate leader. Jesus, you know, your husband is not your leader, primary leader. Jesus is your ultimate leader, and he is good, and he will never fail you. He's the best leader ever. He's kind, he's good, he's gentle, he's very romantic. I know some of our wives, like, oh, I wish my husband. Jesus is romantic. He's amazing. If you look into the glory of Jesus, you will never be disillusioned. Amen. The only reason you ever become disillusioned because you're looking in the wrong place. Let the Lord renew, restore your heart. One of my heroes is John G. Lake, American missionary to South Africa, beginning 1900. He raised up in 5 years 1,250 preachers, 625 congregations, and 100,000 converts. That sounds quite impressive. 5 years. But look at this. While he was ministering, they lived in Johannesburg, and on December the 22nd, 1908, while he was ministering in the Kalahari Desert, his beloved Jenny, his wife, died. Most accounts of Jenny Lake's passing attribute her death to malnutrition and physical exhaustion. When John was away, scores of sick people would wait on his lawn until he returned, and Jenny would feed them while they waited with what little food she could spare. She did all that she could to make their stay as comfortable as possible until her husband's return. And in so doing, she neglected her own physical needs. She was a mom to seven children. Seven. Lake had become so absorbed in ministering to others that he wasn't aware of what was happening to the health of his own wife. And she died. Isn't that horrific? And for me, this is such a wake-up call. For all of us, so busy with a hobby, so busy in the business world, so busy making money, so busy making the next deal that we're not aware of that. I'm losing my wife's heart. I'm losing my wife's heart. I'm losing my wife's heart. They say all seven of those children, because Lake stayed behind here for a while and sent these kids back to America. All seven children became disillusioned with God and walked away from God. They never turned back to Christ. Never. He got married again. He did it better. His other kids followed Jesus. But I'm saying, if we do church in a way that our kids hate church, we're doing something wrong. Amen. We need to do it in a way that is, I love church. I want to go to church. Our children must love it. And we can create an environment where church rocks. Jesus is present and hearts are knitted together. There's a supernatural anointing when you and I take responsibility for our hearts before Jesus and say, Lord, thank you for this challenge. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. Restore me. Come and chisel your image into me. I want to look like you. Amen. Come on. I want to release hope over you. I want to release faith over you. I believe God's going to transform all our churches. He's going to do something so wonderful, so glorious, so beautiful. And later, Lake said he grieved his lack of attention to his children. He would later write in a letter that the many miracles wrought at his hands were personally unfulfilling and not worth the loss of his family. Let this not happen to us. He had 100,000 people healed in 5 years. Mighty miracles. But success outside of the home can never make up for failure within the home. So we need to be aware. Guys, are you aware of your wife's heart? Where's she at? Do you have her heart? Ladies, do you have your husband's heart? Does he trust you? It's something to invest in continuously having one another's hearts. The Lord wants to restore this morning. So Proverbs 3, verse 13. To 18 speaks about wisdom. I believe one of the keys for having a beautiful marriage, beautiful family, is you need to create the right environment. So like the rivers, I believe there are these five rivers, but this river, this anointing that causes relationships to flourish only works within a specific environment. And the right wineskin compared to the old wineskin. I'm going to read that in a moment. But there's a way of peace that is via wisdom. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Say ways of pleasantness. And all her paths, say all her paths, are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You see, the wisdom creates a path of peace. And so we need to ask the Lord within your, all the variables that you have within your life, the challenges of work and children, all those things, you need to ask yourself, what does wisdom dictate? to create an environment where both the kingdom of God can come and my marriage can flourish and my kids can flourish. So Matthew 9:17 speaks about the new wineskin. Jesus said, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. So I got a wine bottle here. I was thinking the preaching is boring, I'll just have a drink. Just kidding. So here we have a bottle of wine. Jesus says, an old wineskin won't hold the new wine, but a new wineskin will hold the new wine. But if they put new wine into the new wineskins, both are preserved, and otherwise it's ruined. The wine is spilled, the wineskins are ruined. So I would say the wine represents relationships that flourish, a marriage that's beautiful, a family that's wonderful. Everybody's got hearts and good space. We're loving Jesus. The kingdom of God is being extended. Life is good. But you need to have, this is a container. You need to evaluate your container. Is there space for God to pour his goodness in? His new wine. His new wine. So, obviously, as pastor, disclaimer for the day, more than one glass of wine is not good for you. Could be sinful and dangerous. Okay, that was my disclaimer, so I'm not promoting drinking. Okay, so there you have the wine, the good, the life, the blessing, the relational anointing, a flourishing anointing, the love is flowing, we unified, it's good. So I just want to give you 5 areas of wisdom to help you maybe in your marriages. You can apply it to your families as well or to your personal life if you're not married. But I want to just highlight 5 things and I want to speak about our hearts. Relational wisdom applied. Number 1, create capacity. Create capacity. So for some of us, we need to increase the wine glass. Some of us have tot glasses. There's just not enough time to have a heart-to-heart with your wife. The wise know that there's always a solution, a creative solution for having 3 kids at the same time or whatever. The wise know that there's a solution. There's an anointing to cause our marriages and our families to flourish. You must just find that solution. You must just ask the Lord, Lord, show me, how can we structure our families in a way where it's not either church or family? It's both for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. So the wise know that strength flows from time. And we spoke about this weekend that each of us need to have time with the Lord. So how are you going to make it possible if you've got little babies? I know there are quite a few babies in this in this church. A few practical things. If you have finances to do it, practically make it possible for your wife to cope, especially with the kids. How? Get a nanny. If you get a help for once a week, get them for twice or 3 times. Heck, just have them there the whole time. Get 2. If you don't have a dishwasher, get a dishwasher. If you don't have money for a dishwasher, be the dishwasher. Ah, amen. All the ladies say, yes. Come on. Guys, there are these key moments in the day, like 5 to 7 is normally like crazy time in the evenings, you know. Be at home. Be at home. Be there for your wife. Help take the pressure off. Be creative. Help one another. Show one another you're there. You understand it's tough. Both worlds. So number 1, create capacity. Instead of the little glass, get a bigger glass, okay? Time. So we have a couple at our church. They had a really bad first birth and process with the first baby. Very tough 2-3 years. They were terrified about the second time around. But so they got a nanny for the day and a sleeping nanny for the night. And they are living it up. In the sense, time for the kids, but sanity, mind, to get time with Jesus and time for church and for the kingdom of God. If you've got the money, otherwise be creative. Secondly, schedule time with your spouse and your kids. Weekly filling up of the wineskins. You need to weekly pour in, full up. The wise know that relationships don't happen by chance. You have to plan it. The foolish think it will just happen without any effort on your part. You have to plan it. Our Fridays are off day, so it's holy ground. Don't phone me. Don't bug me. I'm not available. You know, what we had to do, and this is for people in ministry, but also for people in work environment, you know, we had to, because of the burdens of life, it steals your joy often. So now you have the time, but you're still so worried about the other things. So we started Friday mornings, phones off. I tell my wife, I'm resigning. Heinrich, ich resign. Klar, for a day. I resign for a day. And then we pick it up again the next day. But sometimes we have to resign. We have to let go of the business. We have to let go of the responsibilities. We have to let go. Jesus, handing it over to you. Do you know that we're sons of God, but we're also servants of God? Do you know what that's beautiful? A servant surrenders. That's freedom. Jesus, I give all the big stuff to you. Little stuff, I'll take it. I'll take the little stuff. You take the big stuff. Jesus, I'm surrendering. Have you surrendered lately? Have you unburdened your soul lately? I heard a guy, what he does is when he drives home, he has a point, a specific lamppost. But then from work to halfway mark, he would just pray about his work things and hand it over. Unburden his soul. Jesus, we hand it all over. And then from that lamppost, family. Father, thank you for my family. Lord, thank you for my children. God, I so want to be present tonight. I so want my heart to be there. And he just prays and prays. When he walks through that door, the baby is thrown to him or whatever, but he's ready. He's present. Not freaked out, frustrated, lacking patience. He's kind. He's ready. He's focused. Get something like that. Do that. Get a game plan. Unburden your soul. Give it to Jesus. So prioritize those non-negotiable times together. Weekly date nights. Come on. You can do it. Doesn't need to be expensive. Thirdly, be present. Undivided attention. Now you wil jou bokswynkie drinkie. You want to drink some quality. Holy Spirit wine. Not real wine now, guys. Come on, no. All young people here, no drinking. Drink of the Spirit. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So your wife might tell you, guys, we never spend time. You're like, come on, I was at home the whole weekend. But you weren't present. You weren't present. I've been there, done that. It's terrible. On the phone the whole time. Oh, another WhatsApp. Whoop. Just a quick question. All the ladies in the house, who feels your husband is too much on his phone? My wife's hands up. So you all join. Come on. Join in. This is your moment. Okay, let him see that hand. But so we try to make a rule that when we're eating together as a family, phone off, don't answer. 9 o'clock at night, phone off. I'll come tomorrow. Not available. Quality time, focus time. Do you sit and eat in front of the TV? If you really want to bless your family, if you really want to bless your marriage, sit in front of the TV often. As much as you can, just stare at it. It's brilliant for relational unity. I'm being sarcastic. As the one guy said, the TV is the moron's magnet. Jack, let's go look at yourself when you look at the TV. Moron's magnet. Okay, I didn't say it. I'm a nice guy. Yeah? I don't say things like it. But are you present? Are you present? Is your heart there? You know, when we go to coffee shops, when the TV is closed, my eyes go there the whole time. I've been trained well over all the years. So I have to sit with my back to the TV. My wife, we can talk. It's wonderful. You have to fight for that being present. Quality wine. Then fourthly, think small deposits often. Continuously fill up. Continuously small deposits. The wise, the foolish think that they can make up for a year of being absent by one big holiday or big gifts. The foolish think they can make up for a year of not being present. You're probably going to fight for the most part of that holiday, for the first part at least. small deposits. Small is big when it happens often. Little things, guys, little things. Just touch. My wife just likes it when I stroke her hair a little bit, or hold her hand in public, or small things. It's like the hand. It's big. It's big. Big deposit. Doesn't cost you anything. Yes. Awesome. Fifthly, think long term. You need to protect your glass. The glass breaks, it's game over. The glass breaks, it's game over. You lose their hearts, your children or your wife, your spouse. If you lose their heart, it's game over. You need to have the heart. You need to have their heart. Protect. As I said, we're not just building one generation. I'm thinking three generations from now. I shared it this weekend, but I just want to share it again. We were sitting, we just came back from church, and Vian was on the floor just playing with something. It was last year, this year, I don't know, somewhere about a year ago. And so at some stage, he just said to Sonica and me, Jesus just spoke to me. We're like, okay, let's listen. What did he say? Then Vian said to me, Jesus said to me, Dad, when you're dead one day, I'm going to lead the church. I was a little bit, I'm not going to die now. You know? But isn't it wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our children, with our ceiling, would become their floor? So we also working with our son. He started piano lessons. He's 7 years old. We have a game plan. Do you have a game plan for your children? We have a game plan. By grade 6 or 7, he's going to be playing drums in church. Watch the space, we hope. But every day before he's allowed to watch TV, Vian, go play, practice. And he loves it. It's good. It's really cool. Do you have a game plan, or do we allow our kids just to fall back to TV and games and things like that? They say 2 hours playing computer games is equal to 1 line of cocaine. All the men in the house who play games, be aware, it can be addictive. It can be addictive. It can really mess with your head. Okay, so just want to add up. So you've got a few things there. Create capacity, be creative. Schedule time, prioritize. For instance, Sonica was a manager at PricewaterhouseCoopers, 11 years worked there, and she joined me in the ministry for a third or less of the salary. But the quality of life we have now is next level. Don't sacrifice relationship for money. Don't do it. Don't fall for the lie that more money is going to make you happier. A bigger house is going to make you happier. We've decided we're not following the money, we're following Jesus. What are you following? I think one of the biggest challenges in this environment, in this area, deceitfulness of riches that draws our hearts away. And then we sacrifice our family on the altar of that God. So we've made a decision. I will not sacrifice my family, my marriage on the altar of ministry or anything else. Amen. Come on, you can do this. Just get your value system right again. Relationships are ministry. It's ministry. It's the heart of God. It's the heart of Jesus. He is a relational God. He wants husband and wife to be one. He wants children who has hearts for Jesus, for Him. So create capacity, schedule time, be present, think small deposits often, and think long term. Okay. So just to end off, just want to share about our hearts. So some of you might say, that's all good and fine. We can try and do all these things. Maybe some of the ladies are saying, some of the guys are saying that. It's like, but there's no love left. The love has left the building, the house. There's no passion. There's no fire. It's long gone. The love is gone. We're no longer in love, Andre. We're no longer in love. And you know, I just want to be happy. I want to be happy, you know. I hear that from people every now and again. I just want to be happy. So I'm walking out of this marriage because I want to be happy. Do you know that Jesus doesn't want you to be happy? Pause for effect. He wants you to be holy, and then you will be happy. First holiness, then happiness. So yes, He wants you to be happy, but the path to happiness is holiness. The path to happiness is sacrifice. The path to happiness is through this journey where it's tough now, man. It's not fun. But I have a goal. I have a vision. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to work. We're going to get the fire back. So I hear this. You know, there's no love left. There's no love in the relationship anymore. Do you know the truth is? Do you know why people get divorced? Do you know? We can make a list of 100 things, and the stats say these 5 things are the 5 top reasons why. And then Jesus comes, and he cuts right to the heart. He says, Moses allowed you to divorce because of the hardness of your heart. Boom. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Clear. We see. It's not about finances. It's not about pornography. It's not about all these other things. It's one thing, the state of my heart. Can I forgive? Can I repent? Can I say I'm sorry? You see, what happens is you have 2 people, their hearts, it feels as if there's no love. It feels like there's nothing left. But there's just a wall in between the 2 hearts. If you just break down that wall, love will be back. How do you get that wall gone? Repentance. You do not fall out of love. You fall out of repentance. You don't fall out of love. You fall out of repentance. No, 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 don't point finger at his heart or her heart. My heart. Jesus, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Then surely I can love my wife. You see it. But we get cluttered in our thinking around it. We first think it's about me and I want to be happy. No, Jesus wants you to be holy. And then he wants you to deal with your heart. No, it's not. Don't blame your husband. Yes, he's got stuff to deal with, but focus on your heart first. I've seen this with ladies and guys as well, but especially sometimes with ladies. They're so offended. They're so bitter. The man can do, he can jump through hoops. He can do everything. It will never be enough. Never good enough. Because the heart has been damaged. The vision has been distorted. The glasses has been cracked. He's just seeing, oh, he's a bad man. So we sit sometimes with people and we chat to the wife and it's like, this man is evil. And then we chat to the guy and he's a nice guy with issues. Be aware that your perspective on your partner or any person, whether in leadership or people around you, your spouse, it is influenced by the state of your heart. And if you do not love, darkness has already set in upon your heart. That's what the scriptures say. I can't remember the exact verse, but it is basically implies. The moment we no longer love, darkness comes and rests upon our hearts. It's a good test. Am I loving this person? If not, Jesus, forgive me. Help me to break down that wall. Help me to break down that middle wall that's keeping our hearts from one another. So the heart is the seat or the center of our relationships. And we see this often. People, it's you, it's the other one. It's the other one. No, no, no. Just take your 20%. Deal with it. Bring your heart before the Lord. So what is repentance? Repentance is to say, I am sorry. Repentance is to tell my wife, even when I feel that she was wrong, forgive me for not responding in a Christ-like way. I might not agree with what you've done or said, but forgive me for being harsh or sharp or ungodly. Do you see? You can always take responsibility for your side. You can always take responsibility for your side. So you can say, I'm sorry. Let's practice. Say, I am sorry. Okay, turn to your partner and say, I'm sorry for the next 10 things I'm going to do wrong. I am sorry. What is the sign of a sick heart? It always points to the other one. It's your fault. It's your fault. Sign of a sick heart. Sign of a healthy heart. Well, I can still take responsibility for that 20% of the problem. That's my problem. I'm part of this. If I prayed more for you, if I was there for you, if I had more compassion, if I was just more like Jesus, it would have been better. Forgive me. Forgive me. So repentance. Ezekiel 18:31, ending off with this. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you've committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? Why should you die? And I'm just thinking, I shared this weekend as well, but there was a lady that came to me this past Sunday morning, and she said to me, she was suicidal a year before. She came to church a year ago. I spoke to her. She wanted to take her life, and she said she's going to kill her children as well. So I was like, hold your horses. I'm going to get help. We prayed for her, and the power of God touched her. She went to the floor as God was touching her, and the darkness was left her soul. And then we walked the road with her into restoration and healing. This Sunday morning, she comes to me and she says to me, you asked me a year ago, why do I want to take my life? And I couldn't give you the answer. I couldn't give you the answer. But now I know I was unthankful. I was unthankful for what I had. I was unthankful for my children. I was unthankful for my spouse. I was unthankful for the house I have. I was unthankful. And she was sharing this with me with tears running down her face. Unthankful. Like you see, an unthankful heart. I know you've done a whole series, so I'm like. But when you're unthankful, it causes your vision to become distorted. And this weekend, we spoke about celebrating our partners, being thankful for who they are, looking at all the good instead of focusing on the negatives and the bad. Thankful. Just another example. When I became a Christian, the first thing that Jesus spoke to me about was about my relationship with my mom. The Holy Spirit said to me, you hate your mom. I'm like, hey, you're right. I do. First time I ever heard the voice of God, you hate your mother. My parents were divorced 10 years before, and I blamed my mother. We couldn't be in the same room without fighting. I despised her. I couldn't tell her I love her. I couldn't look at her. It would just be like, we don't want to be alone because we're going to fight. She called me the child from hell when I was a teenager. The child from hell. I tormented her. It's like darkness in my soul that would torment her. And then Jesus brought conviction. He said, you hate your mom. So I remember going home for holidays. I was a student going home for holidays. So I was in my room. I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? Go tell your mom you love her. But I don't. I don't. So I got up. I went to her bedroom. She was in bed reading a book or something. And I said, mom, I just want to say I love you. I love you. And I hugged her. My mom is an amazing woman. She is a phenomenal, gifted woman. But the darkness on my soul caused me to despise her. And when I went back to my room, it was like, I'm free. I'm free. And our relationship was so restored. It's so beautiful now. So the point being is sometimes when our hearts get wounded, our perspective of people get distorted and all we can see is bad. Whether in your marriage, whether with leaders, whether your boss, whatever it might be. And I feel Jesus wants to restore our hearts this morning. Amen. He's the healer of broken hearts. He wants to restore. He wants to renew our vision. He wants to heal those broken glasses. So if I can have the worship team just join us here and my wife as well. So it says there, get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. How about launching a new season at Shofar Somerset West? Allowing Jesus to touch our hearts. Restoring our hope, restoring our joy, believing again. Lord, your church is going to be beautiful. Yeah, there's a few things there, but it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah, I know, Lord, our relationship is always so great, but God, I have a vision of a beautiful marriage. Not perfect, but beautiful. We have one another's hearts. We trust one another. It's wonderful. How big is your God? How big is your God? I believe in a God who's able to change any circumstance, any heart. Amen. So you do not fall out of love, you fall out of repentance. Out of repentance. And I want us just this morning, I really want us to respond, say, Lord Jesus, I want you to heal my heart. So think for a moment about any relationship, whether marital, maybe children, parents, leaders, boss, anybody that you feel they've wounded you, they've hurt you, you're disappointed, disillusioned, you've lost hope. Jesus wants to heal. Jesus wants to heal. Jesus wants to restore you. Amen. When the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, the only reason you're disillusioned is because you're looking at man and not me. When I clicked it, I was free immediately. I was free. Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will never fail you. Please stand with me. Come on, let's welcome the love of the Father. Let's welcome the love of the Father here this morning. Let's welcome the love of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to remind you of that word I felt for that lady that was raped. You're not defined by what people do to you. You are defined by Jesus. Let's say it. I am not defined by what people do to me. I am defined by Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, right now we welcome you here. We welcome your glorious presence that heals, that restores. Give us new eyes to see. Give us new eyes to see, Lord. In Jesus' name, as God, right now, we welcome your loving, kind, wonderful, beautiful presence. Jesus, we welcome you here to walk these aisles right now. May not one of us be untouched. Lord, where there's disillusionment, bring new hope in Jesus' name. Lord, where there's disappointment, God, may we believe again in Jesus' name. In whatever relational context it might be, Jesus' name. Father, right now we contend for relationships. We contend for marriages. We contend for our hearts. Jesus, touch. Touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I believe in miracles. If the Lord can cause cancer to disappear in a moment, he can heal your heart. Jesus Christ, we welcome you here. Come and restore. Come and heal. So I want to ask you, if you need restoration in your heart, would you be so kind to come to the front and just come and stand here? I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Any relationship that you know of that your heart's not right towards them, then I want you to come. Come, let's trust Jesus for a miracle right now. A miracle like he did with me and my mom. Come on, let's welcome that flow of life. Maybe you are disillusioned. Maybe you've lost hope in an area of your life. Then come, join us here in the front. We're going to trust Jesus to touch you. In Jesus' name, just respond. I believe there's an anointing here right now to heal hearts. To heal hearts. To heal hearts. In Jesus' name. Let's kickstart a renewal right now. Renewal here in Shofar Somerset West. A renewal in our hearts. we do not fall out of love, we fall out of repentance. Jesus is King of Hearts. He's like, this is speciality. Speciality. Let me set you free. Let me heal you. Let me restore you. Let me shine my light upon your heart. In Jesus' name.
I believe there's a woman here that you are praying to God and you're asking God for a specific thing. And I'm seeing fireworks. I feel you love fireworks. And God is telling you, life with me is not going to be boring. Give me a chance, because I want to give you a life, extravagant life with me. I want to bring fireworks in your life. Allow me to come into you, into your heart, into your life. Because what I've got planned for you is immensely awesome.
Maybe you want just a renewal in your marriage. It's not necessarily going bad. You just want a renewal in your marriage. I want to ask you to also just come forward as a couple. If you want renewal in your marriage, just come to the Lord and say, Lord, we restore the flame, restore the fire. It's not necessarily going bad, you just want a renewal. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord just for a moment. Just lift our hands to the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. Jesus, we welcome you here. You are King of Hearts. Jesus, we need a touch, every one of us, a touch in our hearts to restore our marriages, to restore. Lord, come and we release a miracle in our hearts right now. We release a miracle in our hearts right now. Just pray this prayer with me as we surrender our hearts to Jesus. Just say, Father God, thank you for your amazing love. Your love is wonderful. Father, I bring my heart before you. Heal my heart from disappointment, from disillusionment. Lord, heal my vision, that I can love as you love. Father, forgive me for any bitterness in my heart. Father, forgive me for any unforgiveness. I choose to forgive right now. I forgive those who have wounded me, disappointed me. Jesus, I give you my heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new heart that I may love again without fear. Jesus, I give you my heart. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just want to pray for a moment. If we have people that can come and just stand with me in the front, any ministry facilitators, small group leaders, interns, if you can maybe just come and stand with someone. We're going to, if you can all just move forward here in the front, just move it forward a little bit. Just make a little bit of space. Hallelujah. We pray for them. I just feel that God wants to, you know, maybe you, your marriage is fine, no issues, no crises. But I feel the Lord wants to release an anointing to every marriage here to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope for others. A beacon of light, a beacon of hope. If you want your marriage to be that, would you just quickly raise your hand? Just want to pray for you. Oh, I pray that God would release an anointing over us. It's a place where you stand, where you say that all hell can break loose, everybody in the whole world can get divorced, but we will stand. We will stand. And we will have hope and faith for the sake of others. Other people's lives can fall apart, but we won't. We're going to stand and follow Jesus. Amen. So, Father, we release your blessing over every marriage represented here. God, we release an anointing that our lives would become a beacon of hope, a beacon of light in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, God, give us fresh vision for our marriages. Something to pursue, a kingdom vision to pursue. Lord, in Jesus' name, release your life and blessing over every couple represented here this morning. Lord, release that anointing, that impartation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak this over every marriage here. You are a beacon of hope because you're standing. You are a beacon of life. Keep on standing and take your marriage next level in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bring our churches before you, Lord. We bring our lives before you. Father, we pray for an outpouring of an anointing. Just want to share this. This is my dream. That the marriages in our churches would be so beautiful and so powerful that the community would talk about it and say, if you've got marital problems, go to that church because relationships flourish in that church. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be beautiful? So, Father, we ask for this, that in this house and in these lives, an environment would be created where marriages flourish for the sake of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. God, let it be. God, right now, we just release a renewal of our hearts, of our lives. Believe again, hope again, dream again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I just feel that there's some of us here, you actually need to phone someone or go to someone and say, I am sorry. I am sorry for my part in straining this relationship. Forgive me. I just want to release that over you. If the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart, just go for it. If you need prayer for anything else, we're going to be in the front. So just join us here. If you wanna buy my book, it's just 70 Rand. It's in the foyer. And I'm going to be at Shofar Gardens tonight preaching on the presence-centered life. So if you want to join, you're welcome. So the Lord bless you. If you need prayer, please come to the front. And if you were blessed by the preaching, please buy the book. The Lord bless you. May it be a blessing to you. Amen.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.